patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Hello, hello. Hey, buddy. You're a little quiet.
I am a little quiet, eh? Okay.
Sound better now. Maybe you were just whispering.
I'm just closer to the mic now, maybe,
Yes.
There we go. Weird question. You don't remember what shirt I was wearing yesterday, right?
Are you worried you're wearing the same one?
No, I was wearing a red shirt yesterday, and then I got in my head that people will care that I was wearing the same shirt, even though they're two different shirts.
And
I'm sure nobody pays attention close enough to worry about it.
I worry about that every day too, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there are just days where I just wake up, I podcast, we record, I edit, and then I just sit on the couch and watch TV for the last 3 hours of the day.
Yeah.
And then I just sleep in my dirty clothes because I'm a dirty homeless man. And then wake up the next morning and go, I should probably change my t-shirt, right? It's not dirty. There's no mustard stains on it that you can see.
Yeah, this is a mustard-free shirt. It's totally wearable again.
The worst, though, is when we like record on a Friday, and then by Monday, I just happen to be wearing the same shirt again.
Right.
And now I'm really overthinking it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I swear, guys, I changed my shirt, but nobody's believing me, right? And that's in my head where I'm like, no, I wore a different shirt on Saturday, and I wore a different shirt on Sunday. And now this is clean. It's been through the laundry and it's a new week. But all I can think is that people just see back-to-back episodes, same green shirt, and go, this dirty guy's been wearing it for 4 days in a row.
I worry about the same thing when we do a interview on the same day as an episode. And then I'm like, what if somehow it manages to go back-to-back and then everyone's like, this guy.
Yeah, this is so gross.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why real sports guys
wear suits.
Yes. But the same suit, though. Gross. Yes.
Gross. Gross, gross, gross.
I don't know if you saw the comment there. Someone was like, hey, congratulations, Craig. That's awesome. Can't wait to listen to your podcast. The walk-off's power continues to grow.
Yeah. I know where you're
going with
this.
You saw Taco's time response to that? Yeah. He was like, yeah, sort of. Although I did just watch two guys in Blue Jays shirts in their 20s in their rooms with twice as many subscribers. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Stab me right in the heart. Why don't you?
Yeah.
But there was a nice comment.
To be 20 back. And in our rooms, eh, bud?
I know. Instead, we're like 30 and 40 and in our rooms.
Yeah. With half the subscribers.
But our subscribers are better.
I agree. I think our fan base is way better, but also those numbers look tasty, right? So
real talk, we've got to, we'll get into this afterwards when we talk business.
Okay.
But we got to make a conscious effort to more calls to action.
Yes.
For likes on videos. I was going through the numbers and it's like, I don't know why likes are so down on our videos, and it just is killing our numbers. I think on the clips channel, if our video gets a dozen likes, we're getting like 200 or 300 views, and everything that has a good amount of views is like 50, 60 to 100 plus. So I'm going to work on that later today. Just getting that. I know you've been bugging me for a long time. The Chiron on the bottom kind of thing that pops up from time to time to be like, remember to like and subscribe. Because the problem is we should do it for every clip. Every clip should have a call to action. But also, if you're listening to the full thing, do you want to hear
like
us
idiots
begging
exactly
for likes?
I know,
six times
so
in one
fucking
video.
Lame. Yes, I know.
So, a little visual reminder.
The visual
I think
side
is what we'll try and do anyways. So.
And I mean, this, the so the positive spin is that our numbers on the main channel are fine. Mm-hmm. Like, especially on our days where it's the regular time slots, Tuesdays are good. Fridays are good. Like, yeah, our numbers are a little down. Like Craig's episode, I think, just hit 700. It'll probably push 1,000 by tomorrow or whatever. But even if you look at, I think it was Wednesday's show last week, we're at like 850, you know? So like, it's the clip channel that's taking the hit because nothing's going on. So like,
Well, and we're not playing the clickbait game, right? We're not.
No,
like,
I know.
I'm looking at these, I'm looking at all these videos from our, what do you call them, competition, right?
Yeah.
And it's the most like, it just stabs me in my soul to even like play that game.
I know. It's like,
we're really just killing ourselves by not, but also the audience that we have built in this community likes us because we aren't that. So,
yes.
And I don't want to be that, Scott. We just need the people that like us to physically like us. You know, it's like that old, I don't know if you know who Cam Newton is or was. He's still alive. Was a quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
He was like flashy guy and was like all about Instagram and social media and stuff.
That's hilarious because I was picturing Wayne Newton and I'm like way off. Yeah.
No.
This isn't a crooning. This isn't a crooning lounge singer. Quarterback. All right.
Quarterback. So he's in like his post game press conference and he's talking about whatever. And some reporter asks him some question, you know, oh, I saw your post on Instagram about, you know, your upcoming opponents and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, oh, you saw it. Did you like it? And she's like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And he goes, but did you like it? Did you click the like button? She's like, he's like, you should go click the like button. It's just like, yes, he got kind of roasted over the coals for it, but that's how I feel right now. It's one thing to enjoy our videos, but please like them. Physically click the like button, please.
Well, it's funny because our actual, like, very supportive community, which we have lots of, always look after us, but it's like to get that, like, you know, like when we finished first on the Apple charts, it's because we had a ton of peripheral people watching as well, right? So, like, anyways.
Yeah. We just don't have the 12 to 14 year old audience that the other channels have. And the 12 to 14 year olds, like my daughter, they know damn well you fucking like that video.
Yes.
Like, you touch that heart, you double tap that screen, you do it now.
Yeah. Why are you even watching if you're not going to like it? Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, you should probably do that before the intro's over. Like, why haven't you liked it yet? So I don't know. Maybe there's a fun way we can play with that, but we do have to genuinely encourage more thumbs.
Yes,
we do. It seems petty, but it's the difference between 200 views on a clip and 2,000 views.
And that's one thing we'll get into further here. Just like, we can't leave money on the table at this point.
Let's,
you know,
save
like,
that for that after.
Yeah.
Let's go through the mailbag and then we'll, are you good to stick around and talk after?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Mailbag looks like this. We got, BJ Harjeter. Might just say BJ. BJ wants to know, Berríos a worse $20 million investment than Ryu? Talk their contracts. I would say yes. I would say Ryu has been a better contract.
But hopefully that's not the case by the end of this. We still have Berríos for fucking 6 more years. But anyways.
Well, there you go. So we'll get into that. Next one. You sent from Twitter. Billy Blue Jays. Hey guys, great podcast. Me and my older brother watch almost every day. Hoping to get on the mailbag. I know Bichette led the league in hits last couple seasons, but I think I'd take fewer hits if he can get a walk. If he can walk a little more and see some more pitches. He just seems too aggressive to me. What do you guys think?
So I picked this one, first of all, because I think it's a kid. So, and I want to encourage, you know,
Well, hopefully that, Billy Boy here that, can put a like on the video for getting rid of the mailman.
Up that 12 to 14 year old demo. But anyways, with that particular one, I want to talk about, remember like 2 months ago when we were talking about Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen and how their time will be split up. And I brought up, you know, Danny should probably take 2 out of every 3 behind the plate. Okay. And then speculated that Kirk is probably better offensively when he just DHs anyways, because it's less wear and tear in his body. And then we looked into it and we're like, okay, that's not even close to what was going on. I want to kind of take that, bring that up and just be like, you know, to go by your gut and not look at the numbers is always a bit of a mistake. Cause like I pulled up a bunch of Bichette numbers on his numbers after swinging at the first pitch. And it's like, he's the best in the league for first pitch hitting. So it's like, especially when you look over his numbers from spring and September last year, it's like right now, don't fucking do anything, Bo, like just whatever you're doing. So anyways, that's the approach I was going to go with. Right. That one.
I like it. Next one comes in from Discord and YouTube. It's some Otto Lopez talk.
Okay.
So from Discord, sentimental hygiene has short but sweet comment. Otto Lopez is my guy this year. Is there more context to that, Scott?
Just that they were just talking about bench pieces.
Yeah. We talked Otto Lopez last week. Mm-hmm. Looked at his numbers and they were good. And then I said I wasn't sure the context of his plate appearances, but he had like a 600 batting average or something.
Right. And then somebody actually did the research on that, right?
Yeah. So Dolchmaris did the homework for us, which we always appreciate. So he said, out of curiosity, I looked up the 3 MLB games Otto Lopez had plate appearances. First was a pinch hit single coming for Bo in a 10-0 home blowout against the Red Sox. The other 2 games were on the road against Baltimore. 3 walks, a single, and an RBI in 4 trips to the plate in a 5-4 loss. And then he was the leadoff guy with a pair of singles and a pair of RBI in 5 trips to the plate in a 5-1 win. So, for whatever that's worth, I appreciate Dulchmer's doing the homework. Mm-hmm. And then AZ Wells said, I paid $300 for a custom glove from 4-4 Gloves. Right neighborhood. And then I can.
Yes.
The taco mitt. So that'll be the nice. Big unveil today.
Has the heat passed on that? You've been forgiven?
Yeah, because my wife decided to buy a massive king size bed and put it all on the Visa yesterday. So.
Okay. So your marital spats end the same way mine does, expensively.
Yes, yes, but under the same roof at least.
Yes.
Not like Jose Barrios. Too soon, Adam, too soon.
I loved how Craig brought that up yesterday and you were like, this sounds worse.
Man, I was trying to not
this sounds
say
worse
it.
Than going through a divorce.
Oh, I was trying to not say it. I wanted to say was I hope, like, I wish he would just get divorced, just end it, like just rip that band-aid off, start the healing process, my friend.
Yes.
Like, so I was really trying to not say I wish this would just end badly, but end soon. Like, yes. Obviously, if that marriage can be saved,
save it. But
that's the best choice. But like,
but being on the brink of divorce and coming back doesn't give you those warm and fuzzy feelings that Craig was trying to bring up. You know, I was the same way. I was like, oh no, is he still going through this then? Like,
I mean, maybe Craig's never had to experience a bad relationship, but I have. It's not helpful to any productivity in your life.
Yes.
So, but also I hadn't heard any rumors about his marital crisis other than through Craig, so I didn't want to like really lean into it. But all right, next one is just some fun stuff. So we had a bunch of comments about the back catcher term.
Yeah,
no conclusive decisions were made.
Yeah.
A lot of speculation. Nobody knows
the origin of back catcher.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at a spelling contest, you know, they're like bat catcher. Could I get the country of origin, please? You know, could I get it used in a sentence? Could I, yeah. You know, and you're trying to figure out how to spell it. Is it B-A-T or is it B-A-C? Then we'll end with this last comment here on it. Kitchener Leslie says, I used to think it was girl cheese.
That's so funny.
I did too as a kid. So, all right. Then back to baseball talk. One from Twitter, Brendan Farsky. Regarding last night's USA versus Canada World Baseball Classic, this is the answer to the question of could I get lucky and get a major leaguer out one time? The answer is no. Maybe that's a fun question for us to ask each other, is do we think we could get a major leaguer out? Think about that.
I could walk him. I could totally walk a major leaguer.
Not if it's Vlad Sr.
No, that's true. You'd have to hit him.
Yeah. Bowl it in there. All right. Then related to that, Scott Carter, I don't know how he did this, sent a comment with a $5 price tag attached to it. So a $5 donation on this comment, which I don't know how to do it when it's not a live video, but Scott Carter
figured it out. Let's make a big deal out of it.
Scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning 0, and 10 meaning all. How much of Vlad's injury was the team not wanting him to play in the World Baseball Classic? So we'll just give our thoughts on that. I was watching the David Sampson podcast before you joined me today. And he was talking about, and I hadn't heard this before, but it makes sense. And he's an insider, you know, former executive. So I take his word at it. But he says that there are, because it is in coordination with, like, it's an MLB sanctioned event, right? The way the Olympics is, like, with NHL approval, we'll send our guys, right? So there are rules in place for World Baseball Classic when it comes to, like, pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just send a guy out for 8 innings. Like, there's
pitch counts,
inning limits, can't have bullpen guys go back to back days, all these sorts of things, right? And how that affects the, like, competitive integrity of the tournament is what he was saying. He also said, I don't really want to touch on this because, again, it'll just open the door for the racists, because the culture word is, like, inviting them in to wipe their dirty boots on her. Anyways, he was saying, and this is kind of what I thought when we first talked about it, and why I can't really get into it, whatever, is that he was saying, like, Team USA, if you ask any player in the United States what's more important, a World Series or a World Baseball Classic championship, he's like, unanimously, every one of them will say a World Baseball Classic would be cool, but they want a World Series more than anything.
Oh, of course.
And he says, if you talk to anyone on Team Japan, even the ones who play in the MLB, or you talk to anyone in Venezuela or anyone that plays for the Dominican Republic, they will all answer the opposite.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know if I believe it either. Other than, I mean, kind of believe it. That's what my gut was telling me before any of this.
Now, you watch the intensity of Venezuela playing Dominican Republic the other night, and you could tell how much these players give a fuck. Like, they care, man. Absolutely. But I just have a hard time buying that a guy like Jose Altuve, like, you know, if you've, maybe that's a bad example because he's won the World Series and he knows how hard that is, but I don't know, maybe I'm full of shit, maybe this is correct.
Okay, first of all, he's been around more South American born players than either of us have.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another reason that might be true, is when you look at, like, that Ronald Acuna Jr. incident in the Winter League this year, right? Where you hit the walk-off home run or whatever, and then there was like a violent outburst in the stands or whatever, right? Like, if that is just the climate of baseball down there, that, like, you know, baseball is more than Major League Baseball to them. Like, they have like a national love for it.
Yeah.
I could kind of see it, you know, like,
you know, my problem with this statement though, dude, is that it's such a new tournament. Like, when did it start? Like, is it even 20 years old?
I bet you it's 20 years old. Yeah. I bet you all these kids grew up watching it.
Okay. That's, you know what? And that's fair. If it's
I bet you it's maybe, yeah, around, I bet you 2003 would have been the first year. Let me just
Google that though. It feels so new, which is so funny because, yeah, now you're putting a date to it and I'm like, oh shit, never mind.
Okay. Founded 17 years ago, 2006.
Okay. So, no, and that's
if you were born in 2020, you were 6 years old watching the first one.
Fuck, if you're 25 now, yeah, it's been a part of your life the whole time, pretty much. So, like, I get again, it.
You know, like, think of, think of how we watch Winter Olympics, like hockey, right? Like Canada versus USA, right? And now imagine Canada didn't have an NHL team, right? Like, everyone in Canada, we got the Flames, the Oilers, the Leafs, right? We've got our team to root for. But if you didn't have that.
Yeah, right? It would be
all you had was like your local WHL team.
National identity. Yeah.
Yeah. You get behind that. So like maybe growing up, you'd be like, no, Olympics is where it's at. Like, the Stanley Cup, like, yeah, like that's for millionaires. That's not like,
that is such a great point, dude. Like, especially if you look at the Dominican Republic and the fact that they view baseball like Southern America views football, and that they would take a bullet for their team. And you watch videos of that Dominican Winter League and just the crowd is insane. And maybe you're right, man. Maybe without that loyalty to an actual team, you know, you're just like, maybe you're right. Maybe they are. Because Americans, like the American team, I just get zero vibes from them that they give a fuck. Like, they care. Yeah. They care. But I just don't give a feeling where they're like going to risk it all, you know?
No.
I don't know.
No, I agree. Anyways, yeah, we can't talk about any of that on the podcast obviously. So. Okay, moving on from there then. So we'll keep that topic brief. Last one is all spring training related. So,
okay.
The general theme of these last two comments is spring training. Does it really matter? Okay.
Okay.
So we have a look at good long look at Yusei Kikuchi in this topic. Toons Days with Johnny says people are having fun focusing on Kikuchi's good outings, but ignoring Manoah's bad ones. Well, the truth is, none of this matters until they're facing MLB players regularly this season. I understand pundits need to do a job, but man, the selective vision is strong. We all just have to wait and see. So there's some truth to that. There's also like...
Also, Manoah's outing wasn't that bad. He allowed 3 runs in the second inning. Like, I don't know. Anyways.
There's a little bit of like, there's nothing Manoah could do to make me question his job security. And that comes down to like your trust in a guy, right? And whereas Kikuchi is the exact opposite, right? Like if Kikuchi had an ERA of 4 right now, I'd be concerned that like, oh, he is going to be exactly what he was last year. Like, I don't know.
It's almost like you compare what a player is doing with their body of work throughout their career. And if it's not on par, you worry. Right. Or if it's way above, you're like, well, this isn't going to last. Like Manoah has proved anyways, you're right.
We'll get into it.
Yeah.
And then the last one is
you're like, rein it in here.
Let's save our bullets. So Drogo, I'm not even going to R E U A K. How do you say that?
I don't know, buddy.
We're just going with Drogo.
Drogo Cup.
Drogo Cup. Says, OMG, stop trying to make this guy better than he is. Kikuchi is a mediocre pitcher at best. He has a lifetime ERA .505.
Is that not what we said though? Like I anyways.
And his best year was 4.68. Even if you get an amazing year, you wasted some serious coin when you could have dropped money into Ray or even Stripling. Also, for the record, Varsho was looking meh in spring training, but I'll give you props on Biggio looking fresh. So this is all like, this is like the selective vision where it's like,
this is almost like the world, eh? Where they will cherry pick things that strengthen their viewpoints.
I want to just address once again that, like, because of the federal restrictions on vaccinated players, bringing Ray back was not an option.
Yes.
That was not a Ross Atkins was like, nah, we can find something better. Than, like, that was what it was. It was not. Mm-hmm.
They chose Gausman over Ray. That's what it breaks down to.
No.
Yes, they did.
I thought it was that Ray was like anti or like didn't want to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
So their hands were tied. It wasn't that they chose Gausman over Ray. It was that we can't bring Ray back. So we have to get a replacement for Ray.
I think they still chose Gausman over Ray. I think that was just a huge part of the decision, right? Like, maybe. But. Either way,
in any case, yeah, they didn't choose Kikuchi over Ray.
No.
And then as far as Stripling goes, like Stripling did not look good until last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like his,
he was their swing guy. He was the swing man.
In 2020, he had an ERA over 6. In 2021, he had an ERA of 4.8. There's no way you go into 2022 feeling like, oh yeah, Ross Stripling is going to pitch to an ERA around 3. Yeah. We're fine.
Okay. Save this. This is all good stuff, but
okay. And then I do want to kind of touch on Dalton Varsho, which is, I will admit, have some selective vision for in right. that he is like the shiny new toy. And I don't want to admit how like bummed out I am by these numbers so far.
But you're not worried, are you? Okay, well, let's save it. We'll talk. We'll talk about this during the show.
Let's get to it then. That's it.
Okay.
All right, you're ready? I'll count us in.
Yeah, give me 1 second here.
No, I'll give you 3 seconds. 2, 1, and we're rolling.
Sorry, I got all these notes, and if I don't highlight where each one of them starts.
That's fine. We're 14 seconds in right now.
Okay. You're going to count me in? Or did?
No, I already did.
Count in. Okay.
We're rolling.
Can you just do it again real quick here for me?
All right. Thanks for checking out that little preview. That's something we do every single episode for our Patreon. So for about 15 to 20 minutes every single episode, Scott and I are doing our show prep. We're catching up on personal stuff. And if you want access to that, that is probably the best value in our Patreon right now. Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you access to, like I said, 15 to 20 minutes before every single show. It's like 4 hours of content every single month, $4 a month. Plus, it's immediate access. You don't have to wait for this bozo to do all the editing and get stuff out. Soon as we're done recording the episode, it's up on Patreon. So get it at like 10 a.m. instead of 4 p.m. Get your podcast, get your show right away. All right, back to the show.
3, 2, 1, and we're rolling.
Good morning and welcome to the walk-off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. And good sir, it is the show where we get to do the least amount of prep work of all of our shows.
Monday morning mailbag.
On a Tuesday afternoon. Look at how synced up we were there, buddy. Tons of stuff to get to. To start with, I do want to give a quick tip of the hat to all of you out there who have been so interactive over the week. That's what we do mailbag for, is to connect with the community. And I know that we always wind up missing out on 95% of your comments and questions. We just do get so many of them, but keep trying. We try and switch it up as much as possible. You can always reach out to us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. You can message us on Discord. Join the Discord by shooting us a DM and we'll send you a link and you can get in that way. And we're always combing through that Discord. It's a happening place also, by the way, if you're just into game chats, live game chats while ball games are on. Team Canada last night, the Blue Jays during the season. It is happening constantly in the Discord. All sorts of different pull downs and topics going on there. So check it out. And Patreon, get a bump up. They always get their messages into the mailbag. So if it is very important to you, $1 a week gives you that special privilege. Let's get into it, Adam.
Let's get into it. First one comes in from BJ, wants to know, is Berríos a worse $20 million a year investment than Hyunjin Ryu?
I mean, this is a negative question to start with, but I would say you can't answer that question yet.
I would say as of today, it's a worse investment. I mean, Ryu is 20 mil over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically going to recoup a third of that contract, right? Mm-hmm. Almost all of last year's money is a wash. Probably, I think,
most of
give or take half of this year.
Yeah.
But when we had him, I mean, 2020, he was elite. Third in Cy Young votes, right? 2.69 ERA. Like, you'll take that. 2021 had an ERA of 4.37, looks like. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't so like, great in 2021.
An off year, but still off better year. Than, I think, probably the best year we've gotten out of Jose Berríos in terms of ERA. So I'd say from that standpoint, yeah, the money has been better spent on Ryu.
If you're going their body of work with the Blue Jays, obviously Ryu is coming out on top of that. Now, I don't want to judge Jose Berríos' contract yet. There's 6 more years on it. Like, if this is the Jose Berríos we're going to see for the next 6 years, yikes. This might be one of the worst contracts in Blue Jays history. But I'm not there yet. We saw what Jose Berríos can do when he came in at the trade deadline in 2021. His September was incredible. And one of the reasons why the Blue Jays just about made the playoffs that year, 91 win season. It came down to that final game. Heartbreaking. I know there's so many people who still look at 2021 like a real missed opportunity. Friend of the show, Hey Commie, on that list. However, 2022 was a struggling season for Jose Berríos. And honestly, I don't know where to go with his problem other than I look at that four-seam fastball, man, and it is garbage right now. It is getting hit all over the field. Everyone seems to know when it's coming. I'm not sure if he's tipping it, if there's something about it. I would love to see him just ditch the four-seamer altogether. Like, can you get him throwing a two-seamer? I'm not a pitching coach, so I don't know. But something is up with Berríos, and the dream is he's 28 years old. There's still a ton of career in him. He's got a large body of work and his career numbers are far lower than what we saw last year. You hope that he comes back down to those career norms. I don't want to answer that question, but I mean, obviously if you're just looking at the Blue Jays body of work, then yes, last year's $20 million the Blue Jays spent on Jose Berríos, probably worse than the $20 million they sent on Ryu, who didn't even pitch most of the season.
So when we traded for Jose Berríos and then almost immediately signed him to this 7-year, $130 million contract.
Obvious target.
2-year player opt out at the end. Right? So $15 million this year, $17 million the next, 18 and 18, then a player opt out. If he doesn't opt out, $24 million and $24 million are his two player options there.
It is backloaded, yes.
So when we traded for him and then signed him, the gut feeling was this guy is our ace.
Yes.
Doesn't feel that way anymore. What does he have to do to make you feel good about him opting in at $24 million in 2027?
World Series MVP in 2026? That's a great question.
Those are going to be tough years to look at the money we're paying him.
So the reason they originally gave this player opt-in was that Jose Berríos was concerned with the trajectory of the core, that it is possible he was left as the last standing man with money and would be pitching on a horrible team come 2027. So what the Blue Jays did to alleviate that concern was they said, listen, we'll give you the chance to opt out. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to give you more money for those last 2 years. It's totally up to you whether you opt in or not. So I guess the best way to answer this question is if Jose Berríos can somehow have $20 to $25 million a year in value on the open market, I could swallow this contract, even if he could hit free agency and get 2 years, $30 million, and the Blue Jays are only overpaying by still like $20 million.
A lot.
I don't know. I need to see more out of Jose Berríos than we have seen as Blue Jays fans. Right now, it does look like a bit of an albatross of a contract. It is backloaded, so they do have lots of room to work with up until that player opt in. In what was it? 2027 is when he can opt in for two more years.
Yeah.
What about you? What does it take for you to, in 2027, feel comfortable with him opting in?
Four consecutive seasons of a sub four ERA.
Okay. So starting you need this him year. Starting this year. Would I love to him, hear everyone.
I don't need him to be too. An ace, but I need him to be not our number five. He's lucky to be in the rotation, number five.
And I would agree with that.
Path it's heading down. So
I would agree with that. If he can be our number three, our number four comfortably, I mean, you take it, you deal with it. You hope that you're saving some money with guys like Alek Manoah and Ricky Tiedemann, who are coming up the ranks and are going to be making league minimum for the next little while. I mean, Manoah is ARB eligible shortly. Go ahead. Sorry, bud.
Here's the toxic positivity take on this is that you want to have your ace and then you want to add guys that are even better than that. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the toxic positivity there, is that Jose Berríos was our ace. And then we had a prospect who absolutely panned out in Alek Manoah. Amazing. And then we added Kevin Gausman, who looks good. Looks
now
great.
Let's alleviate some of the concern about this Berríos contract with talking Kevin Gausman and his contract. 5 years, $110 million. Is what the term worked out for Gausman. We watched Robbie Ray take $5 million more dollars. He walked away. We're going to get into that. That's one of the comments down the road. If you look at Jose Berríos' contract, yes, it is more than you want to pay right now. However, if you look at Kevin Gausman's, I think that he is probably right on par with what Carlos Rodon got this year in free agency. So if you look at inflation over years, you look at where the market is right now, that's a heck of a deal on Kevin Gausman. You save probably $50 to $60 million on what he would get in the open market this year.
So Carlos Rodon, 6 years, $162 million. Kevin Gausman, 5 years, $110 million. So one less year, $52 million less. It's substantially cheaper than Carlos Rodon's contract.
Substantially cheaper, and you're probably going to get the same production, knock on wood.
Kevin Gausman contract looks incredible right now.
It does. So,
Okay.
Toxic positivity to end this comment.
There you go. Okay. Next one comes in from at Billy Blue Jays on Twitter. Says, hey guys, great podcast. Me and my older brother watch almost every day. I was hoping to get on Mailbag Tuesday. I know Bichette led the league in hits the last couple seasons, but I think I'd take fewer hits if he can walk a little more and see some more pitches. He just seems too aggressive for me. What do you guys think?
Okay, so first of all, Billy, thank you. You and your brother, you keep watching. You hit that like button, buddy. If you're watching this right now and you haven't hit the like button, Billy, get on it. Bug your brother. Tell him to do the same. Okay, so I love this. I love this comment. This actually reminds me of a take I had about 6 weeks ago, Adam. I don't know if you remember when we were talking about playing time between Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk. And you kind of threw the question out there, how would I like to see that time behind the dish split up? And I kind of threw out there, I'd love to see Danny take 2 out of every 3 days behind the plate. And then I sort of alluded to the idea that Alejandro Kirk, with less wear and tear on his body, and the fact that he had gotten, you know, a little had a down September and just seemed bagged by the length of the season, I suggested maybe giving him a little more rest in that DH spot, and his at bats coming through the designated hitter area would benefit the Blue Jays. But then we did a little research. We did our homework. Adam got on. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is why we don't do our homework, because it never turns out well. But yeah.
Anyways, after Adam looked up all the stats for Alejandro's offense when he is behind the dish and Alejandro's offense when he is DHing, it was substantially better when he was also catching. And I don't mean like a few notches. Like, it was noticeably better offense when he was catching. And some guys are just like that. When they are in the game defensively, they're just more plugged in offensively as well, and just a little bit more focused on what they're doing, right?
Yeah, it was like 50 to 70 points on his batting average as a catcher versus as a DH.
So I had to take that take and shove it back down into the dark holes it came from, because it was completely wrong. And I, Billy, I totally understand the idea that you would like to see Bichette maybe show a little bit more discipline at the plate. However, I'm going to show some numbers as to why that take might not be the right take. So Bo Bichette hit 379 on first pitches thrown to him last year. If you look at his numbers after that first pitch, it goes substantially down. He had 6 home runs, 17 extra base hits, and a slugging of 613 on first pitches. He even just yesterday, look at yesterday's game. Okay, I know it's spring training, but he saw 3 pitches. None of them reached the catcher. He hit a home run, a ground ball, and a home run. Let's look at MLB leaders on first pitch base hits. And this is since the start of 2021. This is a fairly big sample size. Number one, Bo Bichette with 96 hits. Number two, Vladdy Guerrero with 87. Brian Reynolds with 81 is the third. Manny Machado, 79 is 4. And then it drops down substantially to 74 hits on that first pitch from Jose Altuve. Bo this spring is hitting 407 with an on-base percentage of 467 and a slug of 667. Last September, Bo hit 403 with 7 homers, 11 doubles, and 27 RBIs. What I'm saying is that to touch Bo Bichette right now would be lunacy. You leave Bo Bichette as he is, let him swing away. And I understand, because he is so aggressive, that sometimes you watch him swing out of his shoes and you do feel like he is too aggressive. But there was a quote after yesterday's game in the press conference from Bo Bichette that stood out to me. Okay. And basically he said, I think I found out that I'm really good, to be honest. I always knew I was capable of it, but now I understand who I am. Whether he's right or not, it doesn't matter. The fact he feels that he's right, the fact he feels he's found what he's doing and
That quote started with, I think I found out who I am and it turns out I'm really good.
Yeah, so basically he said, I think I found out that I'm really good. To be honest, I always knew I was capable of it, but now I understand who I am. Yeah, right?
What's that first line there? I got to write that down. Turns out I'm really good.
I think I found out I'm really good.
All right, we're putting that on a t-shirt. Even if no one buys it, I'm gonna start wearing that. I think I found out I'm pretty good. I think I butchered it again. All right.
Lastly, and I don't know how you feel about this, Adam, probably the same. Always take a hit over a walk.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, listen, yeah. isolated and taking all the variables out at Moneyball style. Okay. Yes, a single equals a walk. It's fine. But as soon as there's somebody on base, right, a single is going to score a guy from second. A walk is not. This is true. Always take a walk or a hit, I mean, over a walk. Anything to add on Bo Bichette there, Adam?
Okay. If the trade-off is 20 fewer hits, 50 extra walks, maybe there's an argument to be made. Now, I don't know that that's how it would translate. I've never been a fan of criticizing Bo's approach at the plate because he's leading baseball in hits.
Mm-hmm.
That would
two
be like
years in a row.
It would be like talking to Aaron Judge and being like, hey, maybe you should try hitting the other way more. Like, have you ever thought about hitting for contact? Getting that on base percentage up a little bit, big boy. Like, just let the okay. Here's an interesting thing too. Bo Bichette famously has one of the most violent swings in the history of the game. Can you think of another hitter at that level who was like a top tier guy, which he is, who had a more, never mind aggressive approach, right? Because that's what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
It's the first pitch swinging aggressive approach at the plate, right? If he had that same attack the first pitch mentality, but he had this a swing that looked like Mike Trout, would we even be having this conversation?
No.
And that's not to poo-poo on what Billy Blue Jays said here. This is a very common sentiment among baseball fans, is that he's too aggressive at the plate. And I just wonder if it's the eyeball test, right? Where you just look at him and he's swinging and he's spinning around and his helmet is falling off.
Yeah.
And you go, this guy's too aggressive at the plate. Right. And then you look at the numbers and you go, oh, he has a lot of first pitch, you know, whatever. And if it starts to like confirm what you thought on initial hypothesis there, but I don't think I would change anything. I'd rather him change his physical swing than his mental approach at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I even say that is for longevity. I just worry about how that swing is going to age, you know.
But right now as our 24-year-old shortstop, I who's hitting 400 since the middle of August last year, I say don't touch a thing, Bo.
I agree. I just think, and maybe that's a factor in a long-term contract consideration is, I mean, you look at a guy like Tiger Woods, right? Not to get all golf on you, but golf phenom in the 90s, right? Had to change his swing, had to reinvent how he was driving the ball because it was just too hard on his back. And as he got older, physically couldn't do it anymore. I mean, to his credit, he changed his swing, had some struggles and then continued to win majors. So like it's doable. But that's a factor. I think you're not going to see a 37-year-old Bo Bichette swing into the point where his helmet falls off. So, but that's a point for another day. Anyways, I like Bo Bichette is the takeaway here.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Billy, for writing in. I hope you don't take it as anything other than baseball is a funny sport And sometimes you feel one way and then you see the stats and you're like, huh, those feelings are invalid. Okay.
Not to say that your feelings are invalid, Billy.
No.
And of course, Scott and I are just two bozos doing our best here. So,
yes.
All right. Let's move on from there. All right. Next one comes in a couple comments. Otto Lopez centric.
Ah, yes.
So we had some love in the Discord for Otto Lopez, sentimental hygiene. Says Otto Lopez is my guy this year. Of course, we talked. Who is the competition for that number 26 spot on the active roster? And we looked at Otto Lopez's numbers from last year. Very small sample size. I think it was like three games, but a batting average over 600.
Yeah.
And lazily, I was like, I don't know the context of these hits, if they were all in blowouts in Fenway or what was going on here, if he was hitting against some guy from the Canadian national team or what. But Dulcimer did our homework for us, so we always appreciate Dulce. That. Well, Dulce says, out of curiosity, I looked up the three MLB games Otto Lopez had played appearances last year. The first was a pinch hit single coming in for Bo Bichette in a 10-0 home blowout against Boston.
Okay.
The other two were games on the road in Baltimore. Three singles, a walk, and an RBI in four plate appearances.
And those were those final two games of the season.
Right, where him and Gabriel Moreno were in it. And the other one was as a leadoff guy with a pair of singles and two RBIs and five trips to the plate in a 5-1 win. So. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't really know what that means.
I mean, it doesn't mean much.
It doesn't reflect on.
But I mean, you pulled his numbers up from AAA last time we talked, Otto Lopez, and it's an impressive body of work at AAA. He's almost a 300 hitter, high on base percentage. I know you just pulled it up right now, so rather than me speculating,
you can see my body language. Is that what happened?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's how in tune we are, Adam.
AAA Buffalo last year, he hit .297.
Okay.
OPS of 793.
So you'll take that. So does that translate to the big leagues? You kind of need to wait and see. He does make a lot of sense for that 26 man on the roster. He's got good speed. He's got a good brain between the ears, baseball brain, right? He runs the bases well. He's got versatility in the field. He can play some shortstop, which is important. He can play some third, some second. He's got some reps in the outfield. They can move him around. And as your bench piece, that's kind of what you're after. A guy who you can stick in to the defensive side of the game and not see a drop off. Yes, you're probably going to, I mean, you look at this Blue Jays roster, right? Wherever you're sticking Otto Lopez, if there's bad tacos, you're probably taking a step down. But just for a fill-in guy, I think Otto probably is the dude. We'll need to wait and see. There's other options. But yeah, I like Otto Lopez too.
Very good then. Let's pivot from there. I teased this last episode or last week that I had purchased a new baseball glove. And I revealed it on the Patreon, what I had got. But AZ Wells commented and said that they paid $300 USD for a custom glove from 4-4 Gloves and asks, is that the right neighborhood of what I got? I did look at 4-4 Gloves. Very cool. I don't know if you've ever been on the website for 4-4 Gloves. You get to pick like all the color for every piece, every finger, the back, the inside,
oh,
the lacing,
cool.
The piping. It's really interesting. I think my nephew has a glove from 4-4 Gloves. It's a very stupid color scheme, but sorry, Brad, it is. anyways, the glove that I bought is behind me on the shelf here. This is from Aria Gloves. These are the glove company that Jazz Chisholm is involved with. They have some very stupid, by stupid, I mean awesome,
yes,
hilarious baseball glove styles. A lot of ice cream cone themed ball gloves, right? Like a waffle cone with like drippy ice cream at the fingertips. Mm-hmm. I went with the right behind me here.
The taco.
This is the taco. So anybody who's listening on the audio side today,
You're really missing out.
You're really missing out, but this is the new centerpiece of my office.
It's such a beautiful glove, buddy. Thank you.
So that's my, I don't even want to say how much it cost after shipping, and I got hit by duties pretty good there too upon delivery, but USA to Canadian conversion was a lot more than it was at Christmas time too. So I got hammered pretty hard there, but yeah, should last me for the rest of my life, or so says.
But this is your first glove since you were 12, you said?
This is my first new glove that I've had to break in since I was like, 14 years old.
Amazing. So
if anybody has any comments or tips on how to break in a new ball glove, this is a very hard shell taco and I need to break this thing in. So send me your tips for breaking it in. Yeah, there you go. Kind of a related comment on our Patreon. Wyatt responded and said, I did something similar last week with my Blue Jays Mariners tickets. Bought some Mariners tickets or Jays tickets for the game in Seattle this July. Said, not only did I not consider the US to Canadian conversion because I thought it was a .ca website, but I also failed to take into consideration the website fees. So $217 US a ticket. And I ended up paying almost $1,500 for four tickets.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. But it's one of those, it sucks, but I'm okay with it moments. LOL. So I got you, Adam. So there you go. Watch your US purchases right now because the Canadian dollar is
worse than usual. It's normally shitty, but it's even worse.
Worse than usual. So yeah, be careful with your online shopping in the next few weeks. There you go. Okay, let's move on from that then and get back to baseball stuff. Last week we talked the term bat catcher.
Yes.
Right? And how it's just catcher. So we got a lot of feedback on that. Nothing conclusive. Nothing got resolved. A lot of speculation, a lot of maybe where because it came of this, from. A lot of maybe because of that. We'll read some of these here, though. Edward Corby says back catcher is a T-ball term because he isn't pitched to, so he's not a catcher, but he is
back
there to catch pop-ups and foul backs. I don't know how you foul back off a T-ball, but or off of a tee, but anyway. Dulcimerist added, isn't back catcher another name for the bullpen catcher?
Ooh.
And sometimes a catcher is referred to as the backstop, which yes. I never heard of a bullpen catcher being referred to as the back catcher before. That's news to me. There could be some truth there. And I mean, if we're just allowing it under the sometimes a catcher is referred to as the backstop, well, sometimes they're referred to as the back catcher. So that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point, right?
Yes.
This one made me laugh, though, because this was something that I had from my childhood, too. Kitchener Leslie says, I used to think it was girl cheese. Grilled cheese? That's definitely. Did you ever call it girl cheese, Scott?
I never called it girl cheese. I was a boy cheese man myself.
Mm. maybe it was girl cheese, and now in like an age of trying to be like gender neutral and right, whatever, right?
It's now that it's
not male man, it's male person, right? It's
yes,
it's a grilled cheese. They're like, we're grilling it anyways. We might as well call it grilled cheese. It's perfect. So there we go. All right. Two more to get to here, and then we're out. So we've got some World Baseball Classic talk and then some spring training talk. So Brendan Farsky on Twitter tweeted us regarding last night's USA-Canada World Baseball Classic game. It says, this is the answer to the question of, could I get lucky and get a major leaguer out one time? The answer is no.
This, of course, is a reference to the 19-year-old Mitch Bratt, who played in low A with the Texas Rangers system last year. And after Cal Quantrill got the call against Great Britain to pitch. They needed someone in there to start the game, and they gave the ball to this youngin, and it didn't fare too well for Bratt. All the best with the rest of his career. Yeah, I felt so bad for the kid, man, watching Ernie Witt come out of the dugout and pull him. He was almost crying. Like, you could see he was so disappointed in himself, so disappointed in letting down the rest of the guys. But you know what, man? Like, kudos to the kid for going out there and doing what he did. You know, it's a lot to ask of a 19-year-old kid who has never faced hitters above high A to step in and pitch to the likes of Mike Trout and Nolan Arenado, and the list goes on and on of studs on that USA batting lineup. I don't know, man. Could you get a major leaguer out? Could you one just, even if you had a million tries?
Okay. Tough question. Toxic positivity here. Okay. I think I could. And this doesn't come from my own personal hubris. Does a pop fly out count? Does like fouling one straight up to the bat catcher count?
Yeah.
I think I could get a guy to foul off.
In a million tries?
No, in like 10, in one at bat, I bet you I could get a guy out.
Okay.
I think my timing would throw them off so bad. You ever see Zach Greinke throw his Ephus pitch?
That's all you got is Ephus.
That's a straight Ephus. Put it on a shirt. Okay. No, I mean, look, spring training, could I get a guy out? Probably not. World Baseball Classic, could I get a guy out? Probably not. But you bring me in relief of like following Nate Pearson or Hagen Dan or someone throwing 100. Bases loaded, you got to bring me in for whatever reason, right? Sometimes you need the Zamboni driver to play goal. Sometimes you need me to pitch. And I'm just throwing straight Ephus. Yeah, I could probably mess with their timing and jam them up. They probably like swing before the ball. Like it would be so slow because we're talking like I'd be throwing 45.
Yeah.
Now, my biggest struggle, I think, genuinely hitting the strike zone.
I was just going to say throwing strikes. Yeah.
I don't know if I could actually hit the strike zone.
Get three strikes in there.
Yeah. And then like, I mean, the moment on top of it, that would be tough. So maybe. Yeah. If I was pitching in Oakland in like September, I think I could get someone out in Oakland in a relief role.
You're like huge stadium, no crowd, no atmosphere. You could get a guy out. I like it.
Ben Wagner with the call. He's loving everything. I could get a guy.
Ephus after Ephus.
Straight Ephus from Adam Mack. All right. There you go. What a stupid topic. Love it. All right. Next one comes in from, it's World Baseball Classic related, but this one comes in from Scott Carter. I don't know how he did it. Somehow attached a $5 tip to this comment. So, definitely.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
Found a loophole into the mailbag. You say hashtag mailbag in your comments. That helps. If you attach money to it, that definitely helps. So, Scott Carter, appreciate the $5, my friend. Scott Carter says, one, in brackets, none. So, one meaning none to 10 meaning all. How much of Vlad's injury was the team not wanting him to play at the World Baseball Classic?
3, 5, 7.
Seven. I don't know. I mean,
I mixed the scale up. I mixed the scale up. At first, I was like, I thought 0 was the, you know, they don't want him there at all.
Well, 1 is none, which I think you're right. I think 0 should be none.
Either way,
just from like a tech.
Then I'm switching it from a 3
Why
to a 7.
Why is the scale always 1 to 10? It should be 0 to 10. Okay. 0 to 10, not at all. 10 all the way.
I think it had something to do with it. I think that there was some inflammation and they were just like, you know what? This is the perfect scenario to make sure that he doesn't wind up going to this. Because these Dominican players, man, this is everything to them. They give a shit. You know, you watch these Latin American teams and they are going full out. This isn't like Team USA where it's all major league pitchers and they're really stringent with the rules and the pitch count and all of that. You know, like, I'm not saying that these other teams are playing outside the rules because there is a pitch count and you can't go over it, but there's more passion, it feels like, on some of these other teams.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's, if the World Baseball Classic wasn't happening this year, would Vladdy be sitting out in spring? Like, would this injury even have been enough for him to be sat down? Probably.
Only he'll know. Only the Jays know.
I would say so, though. I do think that in spring training, look, this is a great excuse to, what's the right word for this? It makes me think of Ricky Tiedemann and his shoulder soreness. That one felt like a great excuse to quell any conversation of should he break camp with the team?
Yes.
Right? Because now you've got service time questions. And
yes.
Let's get that clock started on free agency and all this stuff, right? And you're constantly seeing, you know, a guy that, quote unquote, deserves to be in the major leagues, except that, you know, they're tanking him in AAA so that they can get an extra year of control out of him or whatever, right? But then all of a sudden, any sort of like shoulder pain, and you go, hey, our hands are clean in this, right? Like, we're not manipulating service time. We're protecting his health and his whatever. So I do think that for that particular instance, that was like a happy coincidence that he's got some shoulder soreness, and you go, well, now we have our scot-free excuse to not have him break camp, right? No matter how well he pitches, we can say we got to bring him along slowly. We can't rush him. So, so there's that. Anything else to add World Baseball Classic wise?
Nope. Oh, you know what? Let's quickly, we touched on the negative of what happened with the Team Canada kid. But
Nicaraguan.
I did want to bring up Jose De Leon, who pitched a perfect game into the sixth. Again, the pitch count eliminated any chance of actually going for it, but then Puerto Rico, the bullpen, backed him up and they wound up pitching a complete perfect game between the whole team. So very, very cool for Team Puerto Rico.
Not the story I thought we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, you were talking about the Nicaraguan kid. Yes.
Yeah. Duque Hebert.
Yes. Saying that right? Duque. So for those of you who didn't hear about this, it's really cool. Young kid comes in the ninth inning. Nicaragua is being blown out against the Dominican Republic. He then comes in and he strikes out
Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, and Rafael Devers.
And then a Tiger scout who's there 1 hour after the game goes and signs this 21-year-old kid to a professional contract. So pretty cool story there.
Does that make it worse for that Canadian kid pitcher? Is he like, is his outing on the same day sting more? Because I don't think it should.
No.
I think for that Canadian, what's his name? Bart? Bratt?
Mitch Bratt.
Mitch Bratt. Thank you. Mitch Bratt, if you're watching this, and of course you are, we're the biggest podcast in Canada. No, the world, let's be honest. That's like a cool story that like no one else gets to tell their kids, and you get to. So you get to pitch against Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Nolan Arenado. Enjoy it. Like,
yeah,
you know, do not beat yourself up for that terrible, terrible performance.
And the truth is, who knows? Baseball's a funny game, right? You put Mitch Bratt out there against Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, and Rafael Devers, and who knows, maybe he strikes out all three too. You just don't know. These kids all have talent. There's a reason everyone who's in the WBC has been chosen by their country. So let's not diminish Mitch Bratt, but definitely pretty darn cool to see that Nicaraguan kid get signed.
Another point of context too. Duque pitching in a low leverage, we're getting blown out situation, as opposed to Brad
starting a game where the US had Great Britain, to win.
Yeah, US had to win it, and he's the starting. Like, it was just, it was a high pressure situation.
Absolutely, especially with Team USA getting upset by Mexico the day before, right? So, you know, those guys were coming in ready to hit, and they weren't going to downplay anyone. So.
Okay, let's end on this. Let's end on spring training and selective vision.
Okay.
For spring training to confirm our narratives. So Toons Day with Johnny says people are having fun focusing on Kikuchi's good outings, but ignoring Manoah's bad ones. Well, the truth is none of this matters until they're facing MLB players regularly in the season. I understand pundits need to do a job, but man, the selective vision is strong. We all just have to wait and see.
I mean, obviously, that's the way sports works. You can't predict the future, and you need to kind of wait it out. If we have given the impression that we believe in Yusei Kikuchi 110%, I'm not sure where you've picked that up from us. I get it, spring training. Like, I get, but Adam's the one who always says, he's like, yeah, spring training doesn't matter at all, but you'd rather see them do well.
Small sample sizes, but a good sample size better than a bad sample size. Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's one thing, like, it's an unfair comparison though, because one guy is fighting for his career. And another guy has nothing to prove.
Yes.
Right. So
also pluralizing Alek Manoah's bad starts. He had one bad inning where he allowed three runs. He settled down. He still got his pitch count in. It's spring training and the Blue Jays won 16-3. So I get the comment. I do get the comment, and I'm not saying ignore all bad things done by Alek Manoah. However, Adam, you summed it up beautifully, right? You say Kikuchi, his back is against the wall. And I think if you just look at a guy's body of work, look at a guy's career numbers. Okay. You look at Yusei Kikuchi's career numbers, not good. Okay, there it's one of those things that makes you pull your collar and go, he's 32. Can he actually put out a season where he's a valid number 4 or 5 guy? I don't know. Have we seen it? We've seen glimpses. 2021, he made the All-Star team with Seattle and then literally was the worst pitcher in baseball for the final 3 months of the year and wasn't even considered for their playoff roster. They wound up much like the Jays sitting that one out, but they still won 90 games that year and were just on the outside looking in. I just look at Alek Manoah differently. You look at his numbers last year, like the guy, spring training is so much about getting ready for the season, so much about getting all your pitches where you want them to be, so much about not getting injured. I don't read too much into an Alek Manoah 4 innings, 3 run spring training game.
Well, here's some more input on the Kikuchi thing. Kikuchi has a 0 earned runs through spring training, but it was pointed out that in his last start, he did like struggle with some walks and he loaded the bases and he
you
know, barely escaped by the skin of his teeth. But like, again, toxic positivity. That's what I want to see out of Yusei Kikuchi. I want to see him when he's painted himself into a pickle.
Get out.
The ability to get out of it and at least escape the inning with, you know, minimal damage. So, I mean, we just talked about it with the World Baseball Classic there and Duque Hebert for Nicaragua versus Mitch Bratt for Team Canada, right? Like, leverage matters. Like, a high pressure situation is a factor and a consideration. None of these spring training games are any sort of leverage for a guy like Alek Manoah or Kevin Gausman, who's just working on a new delivery, trying to get familiar with the pitch clock. But these innings matter for Yusei Kikuchi.
They do.
The way they matter for no one else on the team. Like, he is literally fighting for a spot in the rotation right now.
And
so it's good to see him thrive.
there are options. Like, this is the thing with Yusei Kikuchi. I'm aware that he is owed $20 million over the next 2 years. And obviously the Blue Jays wish to put that money to work. And he has the leverage and the step up over everyone else for that exact reason. But this is a team vying for a championship. This is a team that has spent big money on one-year guys. We saw them throw out $11 million to Brandon Belt, $9 million to Kevin Kiermaier, guys that are just here for 8 months, right? So if you need to cut loose on a Yusei Kikuchi to bring in a guy knocking on the door, right? I'm not saying it's going to be Ricky Tiedemann, but it could be very well someone in that AAA stable of pitchers that just is a more viable option. Could it be Mitch White? Could it be a trade deadline acquisition? I don't think Yusei Kikuchi is penciled in marker. And that's just all that we're getting at when we bring up his spring training, is that he needs to do this. He needs to give some hope to this organization that he can be that number five guy. He can come in and, despite maybe being blown up sometimes and giving up some runs, pitch to 150 innings and 4.5 ERA.
Yep. You brought it up. Yusei Kikuchi has the inside track for that number five spot, but there is competition. He's not running the race by himself. It makes me think of that. If you haven't seen it by now, I'm going to throw it in. I'm going to clip it into this video. I think I have to. Trevor Freeman, friend of the show, sent it to us. Is that clip of, I don't know if it was a high school track meet or what, but those kids are running like the 100 meter dash. And the one kid starts to like pull away, like he's going to win this race. And then he like looks over his shoulder at the guy in second and like flashes up the peace sign at him. And then falls flat on his face, like one step later. This is Yusei Kikuchi right now. Like, just don't throw up the peace sign, my friend. Just continue to run your race. Like, anyways. Next comment, kind of related, is involves Kikuchi and a few other guys spring trading. So this one comes in from Drogo, says, OMG, stop trying to make this guy better than he is. Kikuchi is a mediocre pitcher at best. He's a lifetime 5.05 ERA, and his best year was 4.68. Even if you know what? I just want to stop here. Kikuchi is a mediocre pitcher at best. That's what we're saying. I would love a mediocre pitcher for our number five guy.
Yes.
We're just,
I don't remember saying anything other than that.
No.
But
here's a hot take. Yusei Kikuchi, nickname after the All-Star game, Yusei Kikuchi. Cy Young candidate. All right. Yusei Kikuchi. You heard it here first. All right. Let's get real. So even after, even if you get an amazing year, you wasted some serious coin when you could have dropped more money into Robbie Ray or even Stripling. Then goes on to talk Varsho and Biggio. We'll circle back to that. But let's stop here on the Robbie Ray and Ross Stripling comparisons with Yusei Kikuchi. Do you want to start?
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to forget where this team was at the end of 2021. They just missed out on the playoffs by one game. There were still all of the COVID restrictions about crossing the border. Robbie Ray had refused to get the vaccine, and they had no idea how long this was going to last. It did wind up lasting well into 2022 before they finally, just before the playoffs, killed that rule amongst the border and being able to cross it. The Blue Jays didn't have the option of taking a risk on getting Robbie Ray and allowing him to only pitch in road games until who knows how long. Kevin Gausman was the replacement for Robbie Ray. They were in talks with both of them. They both pitchers wound up signing right around the same term, both five-year deals. Robbie Ray was $115 million compared to, you know, that extra $5 million for winning the Cy Young, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to $110 million for Kevin Gausman. Both deals look pretty darn good now, you know, especially after watching Carlos Rodon get signed for what he did. You know, that pitching market continues to go up, and I think Shohei Ohtani is going to push it only further.
Yep.
I think there's a little bit of recency bias talking about the wasted money on Kikuchi and where it could go elsewhere. No one has a crystal ball. There's lots of deals that we can shine a light on that look really good. Of course, there's going to be bad deals. And unfortunately, when it's a bad deal in the starting rotation, it sticks out more.
Of course. And to touch on the Ross Stripling thing, like, sure, hindsight is 2020, but we do have to consider the fact that when we signed Yusei Kikuchi, Ross Stripling was not what we saw him last year. He was coming off of being predominantly a bullpen piece.
Swingman.
His first year with the Blue Jays had an ERA over 6 in 2020. Even his first full season with the Jays, he pitched 101 innings with an ERA of 4.8. Nothing about that.
Scream, sign this man.
Inspires confidence to, no, we're all set. We're good. We don't. So when you see Yusei Kikuchi available, who, you know, had a 4.4 ERA with the Mariners that same season that Ross Stripling had a 4.8 ERA, and you're going, and he's a lefty, and he did 150 innings, and he looked amazing before the All-Star game, right? So the ceiling was there. The potential was there.
There's a little bit of hubris there too. You just took Robbie Ray off the scrap heap in Arizona and turned him into a Cy Young Award winner in just over a year. Pete Walker and that Blue Jays organization saw another lefty who struggled, could also throw 98. And we're like, you know what? Can we go back to back with reclamation projects? And they couldn't.
Yusei Kikuchi. All right, last part of this comment, and then we're going to get out of here for the day. Thanks, everybody, for all the
comments
and feedback for the mailbag this week. So last part of this, also for the record, Dalton Varsho has looked meh in spring training. But I will give you props on Biggio looking fresh. But that is another story. So let's talk Dalton Varsho, because the numbers aren't blasting my nips, I'm going to be honest. I've kind of avoided talking about him because he has not inspired any sort of electric enthusiasm offensively.
Sure looks good defensively, though.
He's the shiny new toy. So I don't want to acknowledge any downside, right? I want to talk about the positivity of Chris Bassitt and how happy Bo Bichette looks with the several million in the bank that he has this year. I want to talk all these things. I don't really want to talk that Dalton Varsho offensively has looked meh. Now, yes, it is spring training, but he is not. If you look at his body of work, which is what we keep talking about, right? His career numbers. He doesn't have a deep track record of being an elite offensive producer. Now, do we need him to be an elite offensive producer in this lineup? No, probably not. Why am I down on Dalton Varsho?
Here's why I'm not.
Okay.
And I'll maybe you can put into words why you are feeling a little trepidatious about Dalton Varsho. But listen, this dude just was traded from the team that drafted him, developed him, brought him up through their system. He did not see this coming. In fact, in his mind, he was one of the untouchables, something that this Diamondbacks organization made apparently very loud and clear, right? I remember talking about, boy, it would sure be nice to grab Dalton Varsho last summer as the trade deadline approached. I was salivating over Varsho. And I just kind of hit a point where I was like, there's no way they're going to get this young, controllable guy with upside in a trade. And it's why they had to give up Gabriel Moreno. Listen, this dude just left his home in Arizona. He's uprooted his family. He's starting with a new team, a new organization. Like, we're 3 weeks into spring training. Let's give the guy a little bit of rope. I'm not worried about Dalton Varsho. I'm not saying that there's no reason to not look at his numbers, but I want to see at least April before I freak out.
All right. Well, given what you just said, he's joining a new team, you know, drafted and brought up by the Diamondbacks. He's adjusting to the new scenery. Who is he traded for again? Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno. Do yourself a favor and don't look.
No,
up
I am not looking up Moreno numbers. And Lourdes's numbers. I'm not playing that game. I know that they've been killing it in Arizona. I wish them all the best. I love Lourdes and Gabby, and I hope that they really do kill it with the Diamondbacks.
For anybody who is curious, and again, full asterisk here, this is spring training. Well aware of that, but just for the fun and the entertainment of it all. Dalton Varsho, 222 batting average, OPS 554. Lourdes Gurriel, double it. OPS 1.109 with a batting average of 391.
I'm going to jump in real quick here, and I will let you finish your thought. But we all, as Blue Jays fans, are well aware that Lourdes Gurriel Jr., when hot, can literally be the hottest dude in all of baseball. He can carry a team. Now, do you want Lourdes to get hot in spring? Probably not, because you're going to need because there are large chunks where when he's cold.
Fair. All right. Gabriel Moreno, batting average 412, OPS 1298.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks might be a team this year.
I think the Diamondbacks are going to be a team this year. They're in a really tough division, but I really like how this team is shaping up in Arizona. I might have an NL team to follow now. I like the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, get me a Moreno jersey and a Diamondbacks uniform and a nice dark red, burgundy, and teal color scheme. Why not? It's,
okay. Let's end it here. Should we?
Bye.
All right, everybody.
For real, spring training is
it nothing matters
for some guys more than others. Shouldn't read too much into anything, but what else are we gonna do? Talk World Baseball Classic for an hour every day? I don't think so. So
thank you so much, everybody who has already hit subscribe. We really appreciate it. Hit that like button if you haven't yet. Thank you to the audio side of things. Our audio listeners grow every single day. We continue to chart, and it's all because of you folks, and we really, really appreciate it. Patreon, tip of the hat. Much love to all of you. All your names are going to be up on the screen in a second here. We really appreciate the support. Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Dad.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh, with a drop. Cheese and crackers. Chose to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.